Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Raiders have a new quarterback. You heard of him?
Hello, handsome. Is that a 10-gallon hat?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
They have ranches, and they've offered Jimmy Garoppolo free chickens for life.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Well, we found the difference between Derek Carr and Jimmy G being quarterbacks of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Earlier on the show, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Coming up from the CBS drama True Lies, actor Steve Howie, plus latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed it is. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We just hung up with Kyle Brandt, the actor Steve Howie in True Lies on CBS. Many folks will definitely know him from his years on Shameless as the guy who played Kevin Ball. He will be here in studio in hour number three. We're about to redo our brackets for the final 16 teams remaining to try and cut down the nets in Houston in a couple of Mondays from now. We're going to do that shortly here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. And I love our radio show open, hearing based on the story that you put in your news segment, because Susie, my betrothed, because I won't say the word my wife, because
my wife.
Because you do that.
Just did.
Because you
did it.
Wow. Anyway, she texted us the story about Jimmy Garoppolo being offered free happiness by a certain ranch in Las Vegas for life. That it led to our radio show open to contain the character Lily von Stubb from Blazing Saddles. I think that might be one of Susie's favorite achievements she's ever had on this program. And as you know, she's a frequent guest host of this show.
And a clucking chicken.
Clucking chicken. There you go. Now it's one of the top stories in Las Vegas.
Chickens are clucking. Happy for Jimmy.
CJ Stroud's pro day is going down. All of Carolina is there. I mean, literally all of Carolina is there. I mean, is Coach K there? I don't know. Will he be there? Anybody from Carolina is there today. And there's lots to talk about on that front. Joining us here to kick off hour number two is the creator of Pro Football Talk and the host of PFT Live every day. And he's got his new novel coming out shortly. We'll talk about that. Our friend Mike Florio is back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Mike?
Rich, doing great, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on in your world? How often is your phone lighting up, ringing? Not these days.
Most of it's by text message. I think we've evolved to a point in society where we don't like to talk to each other. And we prefer to just text. It's so much more efficient and economical, and you can respond whenever you feel like it. You can say, lose my number, nice try. I mean, you can do all sorts of things when you opt to text people. So the texts pour in all day long, and the emails pour in all day long, and you just try to keep up with everything because you don't want to miss something good that could be possibly finessed into a story that people would care about.
Got it. So it was 1 week ago today, Mike Florio, that Lamar Jackson was officially available to be contacted by teams in the NFL willing to sign him to an offer sheet that they hope the Ravens would refuse to match. Where do things stand right now, a week into the Lamar-palooza?
Well, one of the things that I became aware of over the weekend, and we spent some time trying to get it in a posture where it would be appropriate and accurate to report it, the idea that there is someone out there who is not a certified NFLPA agent who is contacting teams, multiple teams, on behalf of Lamar to try to get something going. And we reported that yesterday, and we added that this person is claiming that Lamar doesn't want a fully guaranteed contract, despite the fact that he has consistently asked the Ravens for one, and that he's ready to move on from the Ravens. And that one specific aspect caused a lot of Ravens fans to lose their minds. And it's like, folks, if someone's calling other teams on Lamar Jackson's behalf, what do you think the person is saying? Do you think they're saying, hey, will you do me a favor? You don't know me and I don't know you. We haven't worked together before. We'll never work together again. But would you give me an offer sheet that Lamar could sign so the Ravens match it? Because he really wants to stay in Baltimore. So the ship is trying to get it out of the harbor as it relates to Lamar Jackson looking for something else, but he's yet to find any takers. I've yet to hear of any team that is seriously considering it. Maybe after the draft somebody would, but between now and day one of the 2023 draft, I think it's highly unlikely that anyone pursues him, signs him to an offer sheet, in large part, Rich, because I believe that teams believe the Ravens are likely to match pretty much any offer that Lamar Jackson would get.
And so how does it work once the draft occurs? Let's say this does go through the draft. Let's say we hear who this year's Brock Purdy is. The confetti comes down and in Kansas City, and it's all over. What happens then?
Well, the idea that he's restricted by the non-exclusive franchise tag, which means that any team that would sign him to an offer sheet that isn't matched would have to give up their next two first-round picks. That's this year's and next year's, for now, pre-2023 draft. And it's your original pick or higher if you've moved up. The Panthers don't have their original pick, but they're higher, so it would be the first overall pick if they were to do it. They aren't likely to do it. I'm just using them as an example. After the draft, then any team that has their 2024 and 2025 first-round pick can negotiate with Lamar Jackson, sign him to an offer sheet, and we see whether or not the Ravens match. And that, to me, would be the Bill Belichick move. You don't do it now when you hold the 14th overall pick. If you're thinking about upgrading from Mac Jones to Lamar Jackson, and I think most reasonable people would say, yeah, Lamar Jackson is better than Mac Jones, you wait until after the draft, you make your move then, and if the Ravens don't match, then what you get is a much lower first-round pick in 24, presuming that the Patriots are better with Lamar Jackson, and maybe a low pick in 2025. So after the draft, I think that's when maybe a small universe of interested teams will emerge. The Colts, for example, they're sitting at number 4. They think they're going to get a quarterback. Somebody trades up to the Cardinals at 3, and it goes quarterback, 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 and they don't like the fourth guy left, and they don't come out of it with a quarterback, then maybe we see Jim Irsay try to take the Mayflower back to Baltimore and bring Lamar Jackson back to Indianapolis. So I think after the draft it makes a lot more sense. But even then, there's a belief that the Ravens are ready to match. And one of the reasons they did this non-exclusive franchise tag is to basically hope and pray that someone would get him signed to an offer sheet because they can't get him signed to a long-term contract. So thank you for doing our negotiation. We match your offer. And if a team does that, they get nothing. They get nothing. They get no compensation. They get no picks. They don't get anything. They just put in the time and the effort to get him to sign an offer sheet. The Ravens match it, and then that's it. That team goes forward, potentially with a mess if they have a starter that's been undermined by the open pursuit of Lamar Jackson.
Mm. Well, I mean, that would be amazing if the Colts decide to make the Lamar Jackson move with 10 minutes on the clock and, you know, demand the Ravens give them an answer of whether they match before the time's up. You know, that would be wild. I don't know if the Ravens would be so willing to do something like that. But I'm just wondering, again, if there is a team that says, or Lamar's like waits till May to make this decision, and somebody signs him to an offer sheet in May, right? Or somebody goes through OTAs and they don't like their quarterback situation and they wait till then to do it. And a team like the 49ers would then have the two first round selections that would be required to talk to Lamar. I'm just wondering when is the end game? Just for everyone to understand, it would be June. Is that when it is, or mid-July when they have to? He either signs it or doesn't. I mean, what is the end game here, so everybody can put this in their mind's eye here in the middle of March?
Well, Rich, first of all, you raise a great point that I hadn't considered. What if the team signs into an offer sheet within 5 days of the draft? How does that work? And I'm going to try to find an answer to that, because
there we go.
I guess it's possible that someone could do that. Which first-round pick do you get then? Do you have to match before? Do you short-circuit the five-day period by signing to an offer sheet right before you're on the clock? So I want to look into that, because I think that's a fascinating wrinkle I hadn't previously considered. Now,
okay,
what happens after the draft, if no one signs into an offer sheet, the Ravens have until July 17. It's usually the 15th. This year the 15th is a Saturday. So it's July 17, 4 p.m. Eastern, to sign him to a multi-year deal. After that, The Ravens can't sign him to a multi-year contract. Now, I believe after that, other teams could still sign him to an offer sheet and the Ravens could match it. But after July 17, the Ravens cannot sign him to a multi-year deal. And if we get to that, let's say he doesn't hire an agent, he can't get an offer sheet, he and the Ravens can't get a long-term deal done. They've been trying for over 2 years and they haven't. We get to July 17. The battle lines then become Lamar has a $32.4 million franchise tender. If he accepts it, he's under contract for 1 year. Well, is he going to play for $32.4 million? I wouldn't advise him to do that. I would advise him to say, I want more than $32.4. And if I'm the Ravens, what I'm considering is, and we hear about per-game roster bonuses, you get extra money for every game that you actually play. I would consider offering him a very significant per-game roster bonus as an incentive to get him to play. So we get into another situation where he's got a knee injury, he's not 100%, and maybe he's being careful about his future earnings. Well, if you offer him something ridiculous like $1 million a game, and if he plays all 17 games, he pushes his pay for the year to 49.4, that may be the way to make him happy about his circumstance. Because my big concern is he signs a contract or accepts a franchise tender and isn't happy, and then you have a guy who may not go above and beyond and continue to be upset about not getting that big money contract that he earned years ago and is yet to cash in on.
So before we move on, just to circle back to your Pro Football Talk report about somebody who's not league or union certified, knocking on doors of NFL teams to say, hey, Lamar's interested if you are, because he wants to leave the Ravens, and you don't have to guarantee all dollars and cents. Who's most upset by that? Or nobody?
I think that a lot of people should be upset by it. It's a CBA violation if the teams actually engage in discussions with that person. Primarily, if the league does nothing about it, the agents who pay the money to the union for their annual fees, they have to go out and buy malpractice insurance every year, they have to go to a meeting every year, they're subject to discipline and regulation and oversight by the union. If I'm an agent that checks all the boxes to properly participate in this business, and the union and the league are doing nothing to eradicate people who aren't officially certified representing players, and Rich, a lot of the guys who are self-represented and we make a big deal and we cheer them on, hey, that's great, go do it yourself. Most of those guys have somebody who isn't certified who's helping them. So the proper way to say it is not that they're represented by themselves. They're represented by someone who isn't certified by the NFLPA. So if this is happening and it's not being squashed by the league and or the union, the agents should be upset because they're the ones who are doing everything to be the ones in position to properly and legally negotiate these deals.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, PFT, live on Peacock, joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. And also coming up next month, a new novel by this gentleman called Father of Mine. You can order it right now where all books can be ordered, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Interesting post today you had about the Jets should just tell the Packers, hey, you're on the hook for $60 million with Rodgers. That's what I've been saying for the last week plus. It's just, we know you're going to have to trade him. Just like you tell us when 12:01 is in your mind, and so we can at least prepare. We all know this is going to have to happen. So my question for you is, Mike, could this be over money? Because Rodgers said to McAfee that he wants to have something done right by him, by the Packers. And that was the end of his his answer talking about how he's, debatably the best player in the history of the franchise and they should do right by him towards the end of his stay there. That rings a bell to me. I'm just wondering. The compensation is not the issue between the teams. It's the compensation between Rodgers and the Packers. Is that possible at all?
I have been poking around this issue from every possible angle, and I have yet to hear that there's an issue with Aaron Rodgers' contract. And from the Packers' perspective, they actually have a higher cap number for Rodgers if they trade him before June 1 than if he's on the roster. They actually do, and that's one of their arguments for getting more than maybe what they should. Hey, Jets, by doing this deal before June 1, we take on a higher cap charge for Aaron Rodgers this year as we clear the dead money off the books. So I think this is all about what the Packers want from the Jets to get this deal done. They're digging in their heels, as Rodgers told McAfee last week. And I think that's what it all comes down to. And that's why I think what the Jets should do, it's very simple. Because we have to agree on when the deadline is. You hit the nail on the head. 12:01. When is 12:01? Both sides have to agree because nobody moves toward their bottom line until they believe the real deadline is coming. I think the Jets should say, hey, Packers, if you want to get this done before the draft, here's our offer with 2023 draft pick, one or more picks, whatever it is. Here's our offer. And if you don't want that, then after the draft, here's our offer based on 2024 picks, and we'll also throw in something in 2025 if he plays for us in 2024. Our deadline is starting training camp. And then I think separately, the Jets need to say to Rodgers, you need to tell the Packers, if this isn't done by training camp, you're showing up just like Favre did in 2008. Huh. That puts the pressure on the Packers from multiple possible directions. And at some point before week one, when his $58.3 million option bonus converts to salary, and it's all guaranteed, they're paying him that money if they don't get rid of him, at some point before week one, the Packers are going to decide, we have to move on. We have to take what we can and yeah. get past this financial obligation.
Right, right. And so can it be as simple as, if this is what it is, can it be as simple as what's the difference between costing the Packers money by getting them off the books pre-June 1 and after June 1 and the Jets pick up that difference? Could it be
Rich, it's as easy as this. After June, let's do the trade after June 1. Process it after June 1.
Right.
I mean, this gives Rodgers cover for not participating in the offseason program. Because if he would be traded today, and we have the press conference early next week, and all the people are in the room, and they're asking all the questions, somebody's going to say, are you going to be at the offseason program? Because he's got a history of not showing up. If you don't do the deal until after the offseason program ends, that's even better. And he could gather his guys together in California, yeah. work with the new receivers. He knows the offense like the back of his hand. It's Nathaniel Hackett installing the Packers offense. They don't need him. And the Packers actually get a much better cap situation after June 1 if they do the trade then. So there are reasons for the Jets
yeah.
to dig in and be willing to have this happen as late as the start of training camp. And I said, why not just blow the dust off the old Brett Favre trade terms? It's a fourth up to a first, depending upon how many snaps Rodgers takes, and how well they do. And I think the first-round pick would have been unlocked if Favre took 80% of the snaps and they made it to the Super Bowl. Whatever it is, if you want to add a sweetener in there or something, make it a little bit different, like I said earlier, a 2025 draft pick if he plays a second year. But after we get through the 23 draft, it's a lot easier to condition the pick on what Rodgers and the Jets actually do in 2024. And if that's the case, there's an incentive for the Packers to get it done. Because the sooner Rodgers is there, the better they do, the higher the pick.
That's right. And then the Jets can use their draft capital this year, and then the picks that they eventually send for Rodgers, if they're high draft choices, they won't be that high up because Rodgers will get them so deep into the season, it'll damn near be a second-round pick. And you give Zach Wilson all the reps that he desperately needs during the spring. That's it. So what's the big deal? You know, it's amazing to me, man. This league, it's got to strike midnight for people to work.
I was upset because 2 years ago, Rodgers tried to get him fired. I think it's that simple. Remember that report from Charles Robinson? Rodgers wanted Gutekunst fired. Rodgers never, and we know how Rodgers reacts to anything that he believes is even remotely fake news about him. He never said boo about that being false. Gutekunst took the high road, but this is a way for them to push back a little bit. And, Rich, they want the first-round pick of the New York Jets. They want 13 overall for Rodgers. And when you consider how many quarterbacks are going to come off the board, you know, that's a valuable pick.
Damn straight.
The quarterback position is under control. That's a top-10 pick if you don't need a quarterback. So the Jets don't want to give that up, and I don't think they should have to.
I agree with you. Last one for you, Mike Florio, before I send you on your day. The NFL annual meeting, the owners meeting, right around the corner. And I imagine taking center stage will be the state of Dan Snyder's Washington Commanders office. What do you have for me on that front to front load everybody on that conversation? I have so many Washington Commanders fans come up to me, whether I'm out and about or at the combine. Tell me, please, is he selling the team? Like, it's every single fan wants to know that. What can you tell me on that
front?
What
I tripped over last week that was news to me, and I did the research to make sure it wasn't already out there and I'd missed it, The idea that Dan and Tanya Snyder cleared everything they have out of the Commanders facility in December, late December, gone, that had never been reported. To me, that is the most tangible piece of evidence that they are done with it. It's one thing to have an office and not show up. It's another thing to take all your stuff, pack up and leave. He's living in London now. So he's checked out. And I'm told within the building, we wrote this last week, within the building, the word that's being passed around is that a sale is imminent. And it will not surprise me if we ultimately learn that they lined everything up quietly behind the scenes, get through this week, get to Arizona, get the buyer approved. Everybody's operating under an NDA that they're all respecting, and then maybe there's a chance next week we find out. In one fell swoop, Snyder's out, and insert name of new owner is in. That would be euphoria for Commanders fans. It's exactly what the NFL needs to restore to credibility one of its flagship franchises, used to be flagship franchises. And I'm still not ready to rule out that's going to happen, because I think it just makes too much sense for the league to try to set it all up and get it done and get all the signatures and finalize it, because I think the last thing they need is for a preliminary announcement to be made that somebody's buying the team, and then you have 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks where Dan Snyder can, you know, do something to undermine that, because there's still that lingering sense he's not going to go through with it. I'd want to get everything done, everything buttoned up, and then you say to the world, Snyder's out, new buyer's in.
Or wouldn't it be great if the new buyer shows up at the owner's meeting next week, pronounces the commissioner's name properly, and then holds up a new offer sheet for Lamar Jackson? Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, would that break the internet? What do you think, Mike?
Well, that really would. And I thought that maybe Snyder would try to do it, but when the report came out this week from Ben Standing of The Athletic that the contract signed last week by the Commanders delay the signing bonuses until May.
Yeah.
I think the ship had sailed. It was too late to make a run at Lamar. But yes, that would be a great. Although you don't need to go. You could tell the Commanders fans that the start. And I don't want to insult some backup quarterback out there. So you could say Bobby Boucher is going to be the starting quarterback of the Washington Commanders,
yes.
And they'll still be euphoric. You don't need to go after Lamar Jackson. You can do that next year. This year is all afterglow of Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead.
Mike, you're, as always, stellar. Appreciate it. And how can people pre-order your novel right now? How can they do that?
Anywhere that e-books are available, it is available for the low, low cost of $4.99. I keep researching what's out there for cheaper than $4.99. Not much. And, Rich, I texted you last night. I'm in this period right now of extreme angst, because when you take a manuscript and it gets converted into what the book is actually going to look like and you start reading it again, I am ping-ponging back and forth between this isn't bad to this is just complete and total poop. I edited myself there. So
I appreciate
that. I'm making a bunch of changes to this thing, and it's like, you know, at least I'm making the changes, because this is your last chance to put it into some form that people won't hate. So that's the goal. Write something that people won't hate.
Well, I think you're probably being too hard on yourself. But again, we'll talk more about it as the publishing date hits. And congrats on that. And I always appreciate the time, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich. Good talking to you, buddy.
You got it. It's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, at Pro Football Talk. Must follow. Must follow. Dan Snyder, next week, rubber meeting the road. What do you think? What do you think next week? And by the way, his reporting on Lamar Jackson, that was just, as I said, I was not surprised at all to hear somebody's knocking on doors. But to have him knock on doors and say he's willing to leave the Ravens and he doesn't want everything guaranteed, so everything that he's told the Ravens, you don't have to do. They do, but you don't have to do. And he's right. If you're a certified agent, you hear that, you're like, what the hell is happening?
The hell going on.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I have my redone brackets right here.
Same.
All the red ink, like it never existed.
Poof. Like Kaiser.
That's next.
Kaiser.
Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, sitting here at the Rich Eisen Show desk that is furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by right here on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, part of the stream here live on the Roku channel. Great chat with Mike Florio right there. Good chat with him.
Mm-hmm.
We just say this about the Rodgers-Jets thing. Get this off my chest. You know what? I need a little bit more runway than the ones that I'm going to have right now. I've just decided I'm going to do this top of the next hour.
Oh, okay.
Got to get another thing off my chest.
All right.
About what's going on with the Jets and the Packers and Aaron Rodgers.
That's a tease.
Oh, yeah. It's called a tease. Laramie Tunsil is having a press conference right now for the Houston Texans, as he's the highest paid tackle in professional football. And we were talking during the commercial break, as you said, it's quite the comeback.
Quite the comeback. I mean, we called Dion the comeback player of the year, but Laramie Tunsil, somebody's out to get him.
What was that draft night? Was that 2015 in Chicago, Illinois? And it was a wild night. Because somebody, did we find out who did him dirty like that? Did we find out it was
like a stepfather?
It was a family member.
Where a video comes out on draft night of him.
2016.
Like a Pineapple Express movie moment, okay? In addition to, by the way, don't forget that night, there were also Instagram posts showing off conversations between him and members of the Ole Miss football staff asking for rent money and utility money. Was it Hugh Freeze?
I believe so.
It was a total wild night, to the point where I'll say this story here. As you know, when I'm hosting an NFL draft, I stay off of Twitter. In the Twitter world, I guess since 2008, is that when I first joined Twitter? I don't know what my Twitter anniversary is.
Hugh Freeze was the Ole Miss coach.
Oh, my gosh. I stay off of Twitter because Twitter is now faster letting you know who's about to be drafted than the commissioner. Because it's what we do in a draft. It's a show. It's a television show. And so we need, if we're on the air and ESPN's at break, the commissioner's not announcing a pick. Right. If ESPN's on the air and NFL Network's on a break, the commissioner's not announcing a pick. If the commissioner and the NFL have a presentation on the stage that they want to put in front of the viewing audience, they will not make a pick. And picks sometimes rack up. Sometimes it's someone's on a clock, a pick's already in, and that pick hasn't been announced, but Twitter has announced it to the world. I stay off of Twitter. It's the only time that night, Laramie Tunsil having the gas mask on, was the only time I hopped on Twitter. Charlie Hook, the king of spring, who runs, is our EP of production now at the NFL Network, sitting in the truck. He's, in my ear, my earpiece, helping produce the draft. He's like, you got to see this. Go to Twitter. And I'm like, dude, we have this discussion. I am not going on Twitter. I need to be in the dark. He goes, not about this. You have to see it. And I'm like, really? He goes, trust me. I go online, I see what I need to see, and I get back in his ear. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I needed to see that. Whole world blows up. Today, he's at a press conference talking as the highest paid tackle in the NFL.
Crazy.
Unreal. Is that the greatest comeback, draft comeback to present day moment? Unreal.
Like him and Gino.
If you had told me that night when the whole conversation's going on.
Man, I would have thought he'd be out of the league in a couple of years.
I mean, that poor kid, I think he went to a press conference right after. He got drafted and he's now in front of a press conference. And that's when the Instagram stuff came out. It hit.
Remember, he was supposed to be a top five, top eight pick.
Right.
He went to 13. He lasted until.
To Miami.
Yeah.
And I just remember, if you had told me that night, oh, by the way, in less than 10 years, less than 8 years, he is going to be the highest paid tackle in the NFL. I'd be like, get out of here. Mm-hmm. Get out of here. But he is. Good for him.
Good for him.
And good for the Texans. Good for the Texans.
They got something brewing down there.
They do. Glad you didn't say cooking like Laramie Tunsil did today. I just said that.
Well, he said it.
Well, so he did say it. That's correct.
You're fine.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready. Because my bracket was such
a
nightmare.
You had who winning the NCAA tournament?
I had Houston, so I'm still
You had Houston, so you're still in it. Who did you have winning the NCAA tournament, TJ Jefferson?
We're
going
to find out shortly.
No, but who did you have winning it prior to?
Do you want me to give my pick now since it hasn't changed?
Well, mine hasn't changed either. That's kind of the point.
I thought we'd wait until they came up to say who.
Who did you have
UCLA.
Winning? Okay, very
so
good.
So then what are we doing?
No, it's okay. Because I had Alabama. But I'm redoing everything else.
Right, we're redoing everything else.
Well, some of us can't ride around in a yacht where your first
was all your final
shot
four picks
at
the
it
same?
Worked.
Three of them.
Okay. Damn.
All right, then, Rich. All right, this is for you and me. This segment is for you and for me
and the rest of America. I think.
I mean,
good
God.
For you, TJ. All right, it's time for tourney predictions presented by Dave and Buster's here on the Rich Eisen Show. And it's time now for us to get rid of all the red ink on our brackets, except TJ, because his bracket is so pristine.
Apparently. I only had 6 out of 16.
Okay, so it's now time for us to take from here, from this point forward, everything else that's just happened.
Gone.
Doesn't matter. We're predicting from here to the very end. The Rich Eisen Show tourney predictions presented by Dave and Buster's. Music, please. You're first up, Chris Brockman. I need to know who's winning in the Sweet 16 to make the Elite Eight.
Here we go.
Who from the Elite Eight makes the Final Four, and who cuts down the nets? You have the floor first.
All right, in the South, Alabama, San Diego State. I'm going to roll Tide, taking the number one seed. Same thing with Creighton and Princeton. Look, it's been a great run for the Princeton Tigers. All due respect to Kyle Brandt. I got Creighton moving on. Let's go to the East. I like Tennessee to take out FAU, and I like Kansas State. They're underdogs to Michigan State. You know that?
It's surprising to me.
Even though they're the 3 seed, I like K-State to move on in the Midwest. Going with the top 2 seeds, Houston, they're my champ. I like them to move on. I like Texas to take out Xavier. And then I like Arkansas to upset UConn. I'm going with Emus. He's going to rip his shirt off again. And then I like UCLA to take out the Zags. And then moving on to the Final Four, I'm going to take the top 2 seeds, Alabama, Houston. I had them originally, the only 2 I had left. And then I'm going to go with Tennessee and UCLA. And then I'm going number 1 v. number 1 with Houston cutting down the nets.
All right. And as we all know, the Final Four occurs in the city of Houston.
Jim Nance, final March Madness that he's calling.
Goodness.
He went to Houston. I think it all works out nicely for
that Houston wins.
For Jim Nance and
Houston.
Okay,
the basketball gods and television gods get together and make it happen.
Yes.
All right, TJ Jefferson, I need to get your Sweet 16 predictions.
Yes, indeed.
All the way through the Elite Eight, Final Four, and national champion.
The champions. Okay, we're starting in the South. I got Alabama over San Diego State. I have Creighton. Shout out to Benoit Benjamin, Kyle Korver, and Dougie McDermott. I got them taking out Princeton.
Okay.
We're going to move down to the East. Got Tennessee over FAU.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with those Spartans,
You're going
man.
The Spartans. Are
you know, it's just, I think I'm going to go with the Spartans. They're going to ride this wave of, you know, sometimes you can turn tragedy into triumph.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe that's what is going on here. Over in the Midwest, I have, what do I have here? I have Houston taking out Miami. I have Xavier beating Texas.
Okay.
And then down in the West, I have Arkansas over UConn. And I've got UCLA
of course
taking
you do.
Gonzaga out. And then
your Final Four?
Final Four. We got Alabama against Michigan State. I got Alabama taking out the Spartans. Hey. We got Houston against UCLA. I've got the Bruins taking out Houston, and then my champion, you know, I mean, eight clap. I got the UCLA Bruins as.
Who do you have UCLA beating in the national championship?
I'm sorry. I have UCLA beating Alabama.
Alabama.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. So you got Izzo making the Final Four. Ah, that would be something else. Okay. Here are my tourney predictions at present. by the way, I had Marquette going to the Final Four, so there's that. I'm going to take Bama and Princeton as the regional final in the South. I'm going to have Princeton knocking off, as you pointed out, Kyle Korver and Benoit Benjamin's alma mater. I like hearing those names. I'm going to have Tennessee advancing to take on Kansas State. As you know, I'm rooting for Michigan State, but I saw Marquise Noel play some basketball, and the rest of that Kansas State team has a serious story themselves, obviously not born out of tragedy, just born out of a new coach and getting a whole bunch of kids to join the program. That Noel is a fifth-year senior leading it at 5'7". I mean, he is incredible. I've got Houston and Texas advancing from the Sweet 16 to the Elite Eight in the Midwest, and I am going to say Eric Musselman rips his shirt off one more time and he gets a call from Thunder down under there in Vegas because that's where they are in Vegas. And I have UCLA advancing over Gonzaga. That's going to be a heck of a Sweet 16 game, yeah, UCLA and so, Gonzaga, yeah, right? Totally. So my Final Four is Bama, Houston. I'm taking Kansas State to make the Final Four, and I'm taking UCLA to make the Final Four. And then I'm going to have Alabama upsetting Ooh. Houston in front of the home crowd, and Nance in his final game calling the, you know, getting ready for one shining moment. I'm going to have Houston getting upset, even though I think Alabama's the better team. I have Alabama cutting down the nets.
Nice. We all have something different. I like that.
And we do have something different, but you and I had to have something different. TJ Jefferson mostly did not. Two saludes, sir, well done. That you had UCLA prior to the tournament.
I did.
And you're sticking with what you had.
I'm riding the wave.
That is impressive. The Tourney Predictions presented by Dave and Buster's. That was Tourney Predictions presented by Dave and Buster's. Watch basketball like a pro at D&B with 40-foot watch screens, cocktails, beer, and delicious food. It's the ultimate watch experience. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I love Dave and Buster. Half price game night on Wednesdays.
So do the kids.
I can remember there's a point in my life where that Thursday and Friday of the tournament, there was nothing that meant more to me and my friends in my like late teens, early 20s. I would request from work a month off early just to make sure I didn't have to work those 2 days. So me and my boys would go sit and watch these games for hours.
Oh, sure. Do you know how it went over my first couple of years at ESPN that I asked off for March Madness?
Wait, but you got the I was asking off from Foot Locker. You're asking off from
ESPN. I had the temerity to attempt it.
And what happened?
And they're like, sit down, son. You're doing SportsCenter. Like, that's your dream. What's your problem?
Yeah.
And I just like, okay, I wanted to just like hang with my buddies like the old times.
One year I took it off way in advance at NFL Network, and then it worked out that Syracuse was playing the first round in Sacramento.
Yeah.
So I drove up. It was awesome. So fun.
Oh, going to see.
Yeah, I went. They were like, oh, they just happened to be in Sacramento. So I was like, oh, I'm already off. I might as well just drive up and go watch them.
Did they win?
They did. They won both games.
Of course they did. That was back in when you liked Jim Boeheim.
That was 2013.
When you weren't cursing him out on the Rich Eisen Show.
When you weren't the mush.
Hey, man, sometimes it's great. When your team is in your area, went down to Anaheim, watched Michigan get curb stomped by Texas Tech, staring at Roger Sherman's ass crack the entire time.
That's and right. And then he came in.
And then you guys made
the Ringer.
And then he came in. And he had a good time.
The fame guy from The Ringer. I just wanted him to wear a belter.
Just wanted to wear a belter.
Didn't you post a picture of it?
He was just sitting right there. And trust me, I didn't miss anything. That was Jim. That was, I believe, Beeline's last game as Michigan head coach.
Cavs, yeah. Oh,
God. Went to the Cavs.
And then was one and done.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what happens.
You
the whole year?
That's what, you know, I still will go to my, you might have left earlier. I will go to my sports grave knowing that the Cavs owner, what's his name again?
Dan Gilbert.
Yeah, Gilbert hired the Michigan coach on behalf of Michigan State.
Out of spite.
Let's get him out of the Big Ten because Michigan keeps making too many Final Fours with him there. Let's get him out. It's a win-win. I bring in a coach for my Cavs, and I make sure Izzo doesn't have to deal with Beilein.
Does Gilbert have a
take your
Michigan
Comic
State
Sans
connection?
And stick that where it's where. By the way, Gilbert versus Dolan in the first round of the NBA playoffs.
How about that?
That's coming. That's coming up. That's a heck of a 4-5 series.
It's going to be awesome.
With Cavs versus Knicks.
NBA playoffs is going to be insane.
It's coming. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. The actor Steve Howie making his way to our studio. We'll talk True Lies. Oh, he's already here. Fantastic. Yeah. Right. He'll be here in hour number three. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll talk True Lies. We'll talk Shameless. And we'll talk about playing for Ashton Kutcher, believe it or not. It's coming up.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Steve Howie just popped out from our green room.
Yeah.
It's a rarity that somebody pops out from the green room.
Pre-show check-in.
And, you know, but he's going to come out in the third hour. And I felt like, you know, do we just
have him?
Yeah.
Do it?
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Why keep him waiting?
That's what I feel like. Yeah. I mean,
let's bring him back
now. It's in my head.
That's fine.
It's like get some extra time with Steve.
This is like when somebody hangs up and you don't get to say goodbye, Rich. It's like that.
Yeah. Who was that? Well, it's just Smith.
Yeah.
I should just get out of my own head about saying goodbye and saying hello and just live with it. Just roll with it.
That would give me 10 extra minutes to ask about Shameless because, you know, as you guys, these guys know, I love that show.
It's good. Well, you know, one thing that you're definitely not shameless about is talking about Ashton Kutcher. You
really?
Just will
but
not
time
do
out.
It.
I'm
you
not will sh- not, you are, then I would be shameless. To,
you're shameless if you talk about him.
Oh, okay,
you're not shameless. You find it shameful every time I bring it up.
He does get
and I bring it up nonstop because you don't. It's kind of like Fight Club. Like you don't talk about Ashton.
Now you say that now, but then, guys, haven't there been times where he called me like a name dropper before, and I was like,
no, I've never ever called you a name dropper. You need to be more of a name dropper. You need to be. You know everyone, and everyone knows you. The number of times people come up to me and say, "Hey, you know, I know TJ Jefferson." I'm like, "Get out of here, you do," because he never mentions you.
I used to be in these streets, man.
You still are.
He was in the streets.
I was in these streets.
So that's why he doesn't talk about it. The reason and why am I bringing it up is because Steve Howie, our third hour guest in the 2004 NBA All-Star Celebrity Weekend, played for Ashton. Were you there when he coached? You must have been.
No, I think that was in
2004.
Going by the color scheme, I think that was in Denver, maybe. It looks like Denver colors. Okay. So I didn't go to that.
You got that photo? I don't know if Mr. Hoskins was preparing to put it up at the end of hour two. He's got it ready for our interview with Steve. I mean, we front loaded the whole damn thing. He's already been out here, and we're going to show. Like, there you go.
Here.
Look at that.
2004 was here.
Now you're in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Then,
I know.
I was at this game.
Of course you were.
I was there.
Hold on. Keep that up. It's Richard Jefferson and Lisa Leslie. Is that McGrath? Is that who that is?
Yeah, that is Mark McGrath. We got Nick Cannon. We got
Frankie
Bill
Muniz.
Bellamy.
Is that Kevin Hart next to Frankie Muniz?
That's Kevin Hart.
Oh my gosh! He and Frankie Muniz are the same height.
Whoa. Sean Paul just
Michael
gave me
the Rappaport.
Lie. Michael Rappaport. Yeah.
Richard Jefferson in the back.
There's Steve.
You know.
And what's with the paperboy hat? What was with that? Look?
I like that.
That was I don't know. That was his steez at that time. You know.
What was his coaching style? Were you an assistant? Were you right behind the bench?
You're saying this was 04?
04 All-Star game was here.
And that was here? Okay, that was the game that I sat next to Jay-Z the picture that we popped up before. That was the All-Star game.
See,
this was the celebrity
game.
That's
what I'm asking. Where were you for the celebrity game? I know you and Jay-Z and we're tight.
I wouldn't say, love it. Wouldn't say now, we're tight.
Now he's dropping names.
It's your boy.
Now he's dropping names.
I'm not even paying attention to you guys. CJ Stroud is throwing right now.
Oh, okay. Is that what that is?
Hell yeah.
There are 8 million people at this pro day.
Oh,
that's
thought
great. We can't look at that. We can talk about this, but we all can't see.
I thought you were saying that. I thought you said that you can't pay attention right now because Emma Raducanu is playing on the Tennis Channel. No. I thought that's where you're going.
We don't have the mix.
Oh, I got the mix up right now.
It must be nice.
There you go. CJ Stroud is throwing.
Gotta help you out with that.
It's like 8 deep.
By the way, is this like the sporting event, like without the express written consent of the commissioner?
Pretty
you can't
much.
Talk.
There's Mike Vrabel.
There he is.
Back.
He's fading back.
Oh,
he's
Mike
looking
Vrabel.
To his left.
Oh, what a throw!
Dime.
What a throw. With no defense in front of him and somebody scripting it. That's John Beck scripting it.
John Beck.
I believe John Beck is slated to be on this program in April. All right, so John is now moving to Stroud's right. Stroud is taking a shotgun snap, and there he's moving to his
nice
right.
Shuffle. Good shuffle.
And we don't see the throw. I mean, what is ESPN doing with the camera?
I don't know. This
what the heck
guy.
Is happening?
Oh, man, we got a wild camera there.
And somebody else is throwing right now? Who cares?
I know how the radio audience feels.
Oh, that was somebody throwing it back to CJ Stroud. This is outstanding television and radio.
Pete
Carroll's there.
Pete Carroll.
Oh, he's looking at CJ Stroud. He's not dropping a 5. And he flips it out to his right, and we don't see the completion of a pass. But it looked really good.
Yeah, looked like
and
Sean
this
Payton
is what a pro day is all
too.
About. You know what these guys are talking about right now?
Where they're eating dinner tonight?
Exactly.
Where are we
their
going?
Their flight. How are we getting to the airport? Are we all set? What's
car,
tomorrow?
When's the car picking us
where's tomorrow?
And then it's like,
Alabama
oh, that's a nice
tomorrow.
Throw by Stroud. Oh, it's a drop.
Oh, that's it.
Uh-oh. Who dropped the
where
pass? I need a name, and I need a total accounting.
Just dropped.
I'm telling you. And then we're going to read about how terrific he looked today and what a good kid he is because he looks terrific and he's a good kid.
And he's going number one.
And he's not going number one tomorrow when Bryce Young has this treatment. It's going to be live. It's going to be local. It's going to be late breaking. Mike Del Tufo is going to give us the weather report. I will give you the traffic.
Is he outside?
It's going to be great.
Is it going to be outside? Do we
no.
know?
Oh,
they're all
no. Wonder, these games, are, these are all indoors
no, I mean, if they're
now.
In the I mean,
I don't know. It did rain on the pro day for USC.
Yes, I mean,
right?
And move them in.
I don't know. It's cold weather right here. So here's Stroud fading back. Oh, he moves to his left, going to his left, and he throws to his left.
Whoa,
and it's a beautiful catch that might have been out of bounds. I can't tell.
Yeah, well, it's going to be 85 tomorrow in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, they're outside.
Oh, great.
We're outside.
Oh, now SportsCenter just cut off it.
All right, back to NFL Network, Mike. Come
on. No, it's not on NFL Network. It's on NFL Plus. It's on NFL Plus. Don't you dare say anything bad about NFL Plus. It's going to be a problem.
I didn't say a word.
It would be a problem. Everyone should get NFL Plus.
Did you hear me say a word?
If I'm not mistaken, you can get NFL Plus on through Roku.
I love it
all
even
right?
more.
So everybody should understand. Cut his mic off before he says something stupid.
I never said anything.
Stop saying anything.
All right, coming up in hour number 3, Steve Howie will be here, and TJ drops more names, shamelessly. Right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
You know, this one time I was hanging out with Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Right?
That's my guy. The 04 NBA All-Star Game.
Wait, that's a good story.
I was at that NBA.
Can't tell that on there.
Is that true?
What?
You were with Jack?
Jack Nicholson?
Yeah.
You can't tell that
on
there. That's also true.
Okay.
That is on the Rich Eisen Show Patreon.
That's on Rich Eisen Show Plus.
That's on our OnlyFans page.
Yeah. Is it like a scene from the Departed?
Sounds like it should be minus.
Rich Eisen OnlyFans.
The 04 NBA All-Star Game was the one I had just moved here. NFL Network was 4 months old. Susie was getting us into all the NBA events through her association with the NBA and the Lakers and everything else.
So you were the plus one. You were the original plus one.
1,000,000%. For all the NBA stuff, I'm still plus one. So don't you see Susie? She's the one who's like, I can get you Jerry West. Jerry West sits here in this chair when she sits in this chair. Now when I'm sitting in this chair. Well, anyway,
is that how you got into the air
career? Oh, that's Susie Eisenhuth.
Correct.
Even they
that's
Barkley.
So I'm at the pre-game party. And somebody comes up to me and says, hey, man, I watch you every day. And I'm like, really? Because the NFL Network's on in like 11 million homes. So it's incredible. Like, tell me, how do you get NFL Network? Guy looks at me and says, what's NFL Network? And I'm like, well, then you don't watch me every day. He goes, you're not on ESPN anymore? Guy pauses and he goes, are you all right? I'm like, I can fog up a mirror for you if you'd like.
Like, are you going to make it?
That's my 04 NBA All-Star memory.